1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. That a man be found faithful. Ladies are sitting back thinking, this message is not for me. No, this is for all of us. This morning we're going to be talking about the importance of faithfulness. Great faithfulness. This is an attribute, really, that costs nothing but may cost everything. Faithfulness doesn't take money out of my pocket, but I do have to make decisions, and there may be some things that we have to cut away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, you are so good. All you've done, all that you are, your very character and nature is good. Lord, I am no good. I'm a sinner needing your grace again. God, as we come to you now, as we open up your word, I pray that you'd work in a mighty way amongst us. God, I pray that you'd remind us of how important it is to be faithful. Lord, I ask that you'd bless this service here. Lord, meet the needs. Once again, be with the Spanish ministry up the way, Lord. Be with them today. Lord, again, thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, I look forward to the day that I can see you face to face. But until then, help us to be faithful. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember growing up getting into baseball a little bit, and players would be part of a ball club for their entire career. Maybe a trade or two here or there, but they would just be loyal. I remember a guy, he played for the Minnesota Twins. His name was Kirby Puckett. How many of you remember Kirby Puckett? All right, very good. Ron, do you remember Kirby Puckett? You had his baseball card. And Kirby Puckett played for the Twins. Could have got more money other places, but he was loyal to Minnesota. Say, what's in Minnesota? I don't know, but he just signed in his, and when he put his pen to the paper, he said, as long as you'll have me, I'll play here. Oh, the thought of faithfulness seems to have all soon departed from our vernacular, from our mode, from our way of life. If I don't get what I want here, I'll just go somewhere else and find it, instead of making the place that you're at a better place. There's a big difference. That's a complete change of philosophy. We'll talk about this in a little bit. If we approached everything with that philosophy of, I just quit. I'll just go somewhere else. It's just easier. I understand it's easier, but faithfulness isn't about the easy way. It's about the loyal way. It's about the dedicated way. It's about the committed way. Full adherence to allegiance and duty, Noah Webster says, is what faithfulness is. Full allegiance. Loyalty. Can I ask you this morning? Are you loyal? Are you faithful? What would it take in your life to be unfaithful? You know, in the scriptures, we have great examples of faithfulness. John. Remember John? John was found. Go to Mark chapter 1. We'll just quick look at this. I just want to show you this. And we'll reference and speak of others. Love the Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16, it says this. Now as he walked by the sea, speaking of Jesus, the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Listen, not everybody that followed Jesus stayed with Jesus. There was a point in his ministry when he said, hey, you're going to have to take up a cross daily and follow me. And it was remarkable how many did not stay after that. Read John chapter 6 if you'd like. Mark chapter 1 verse 19. Now when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Here John makes a complete vocational change. Well, kind of. He went from a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. So starts the timing of this is probably right around early ministry of Jesus, right around 30 AD. If we fast forward 3 years, here he is, Jesus hanging on the cross, John chapter 19. Go there, John chapter 19. For a son, let's think about what Jesus has. He has no home. Has no possessions, nothing physical in his life, but he does have some one thing that is of value. One thing of value, and it was his mom. That's the only physical possession that we really have reference of. And what does he take with his one physical possession? Whose hands does he put it in but John's? John chapter 19, verse 27. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Here we see 3 years later, Jesus is hanging on the cross, dying and paying for his sins, my sins, the sin of the entire world, his only possession. And he says, John, can you take care of my mom? Say, what is that? John's faithful. Could have put mom in anybody's hands. Some 60 years later, he writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. That's 60 years of service. He was part of the first group. He was part of the first persecution. He saw his brother killed. He saw his friends crucified. Probably, we talked last week about those that were up at the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. He saw Peter crucified upside down for his faith. And yet John, 60 years later, is still faithful. Man, what a blessing the example of John is. Say, well, John had it easy. John did not have it easy. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. After being boiled, some say in water, some say in oil. That's a rough go. Faithfulness. In Daniel chapter 6, remember when they examined Daniel's life, the only thing that they could find wrong with him is that he was faithful to God. His only flaw was that he was faithful to God. That's a good flaw to have. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, we're told of the faithful saints in Ephesus. Moses was, it says this, that he was faithful in God's house in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. Timothy, the Bible says about Timothy, it says Timotheus was faithful to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Forever. Say, how do we know that? Because God wrote it in a book that's going to last forever. You know what we're going to know about these men forever is that they were faithful. I don't know how tall they were. I don't know what color hair they had. I don't know what their favorite anything else. I know about their character, though, and that they were faithful. What will be said of you? Great faithfulness. There's some areas that we need to be faithful to. Number one, to the Lord. We need to be loyal to the Lord. We need to be committed. We need to have firm adherence to allegiance and duty to our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When the air turns off, it gets so quiet in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be ye steadfast. You know what that means? It says it means steadfast, correct. You know what a synonym for steadfast is? Faithful, loyal, unmoved. Hey, just stick where you're at. Hey, make the place where you're at better. You know, I was thinking the other day, I'm 43 years old, and I have never, and this probably isn't your story, but I have never had anyone offer me a gospel tract. No one's come to my door and said, hi, my name is so-and-so and so-and-so, and we go to this church, and I just am here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never walked up and down Brockport and had someone give me a gospel tract. Okay, incorrect. One time I was in the city and Ron Gianetto gave me a gospel tract. I was at the parade. I was at the parade handing out tracts, and Brother Gianetto came and gave me one. So there, okay. Lest the Lord strike me dead for lying. I forgot. You make these absolute thoughts and then you're like, oh, wait a second, did I miss one? And I thought, but I was thinking the other day, why are people not knocking on my door trying to tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I thought, maybe it's because this is my corner to be faithful in. This is my neighborhood. That's why he put me where there is no public water or no gas and things. That's why I live at 2026 County Line Road, because that's my corner. And it's my responsibility to be faithful there. Faithful to the Lord, committed, steadfast. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. He defines what that means. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. No matter where we go, we ought to be part of the work of God. We don't, God's work as a Christian, we don't take days off. Well, today I'm going to take my Christianity off for a moment and then go be and then put it back. No, it says always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what faithfulness is. As a parent, you don't get to stop being a parent. You're always a parent. A couple nights ago, Hudson came into our room. It was 11:15 at night. Dad, I can't sleep. Sorry, son. I don't know what to tell you. Are you sick? No, I'm not sick. Well, go get water. You know, I'm trying anything, Jacob. It's 11:15. Goes and he says, I tried water a lot. I said, all right. Sarah had the brilliant idea. She says, go lay down for 10 minutes. If you're still up in 10 minutes, come back and get us. An hour later, he comes back in my room to let me know that he's sleeping better. Parenting has no time restrictions. 12:15. People, don't go to him and say, hey, I heard that you had a hard time sleeping. He's going to be embarrassed, all right? I should have said, a child of mine. Could have been Sam. Anyways, parenting has no time restraints, neither does Christianity. I don't get to be, oh, today I'm going to be faithful to God, today I'm not. No, it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The most prolific and common sin in the Old Testament was what? Idolatry. God speaks incredibly heavy about idolatry. Why? Because it is a break of faithfulness. It is a breakdown in faithfulness, allowing something or someone to come in between God and his people. So if we allowed idolatry, are we unfaithful to the Lord? Ever read the book of Hosea? Man, that's a hard book to read. But it's a picture of Israel being unfaithful to God. Because things get hard or we don't understand does not mean we get to quit on God. John did not quit on God. Daniel found himself in the lion's den, did not quit on God, was faithful. The church of Ephesus was faithful saints. Moses, faithful to the house of God. Timothy, faithful to the Lord. Are you faithful to the Lord? God is faithful to us. Are you faithful to the family? The obvious faithfulness between a husband and wife. But don't do things that would even begin to sow the seeds of unfaithfulness. Ephesians chapter 5, turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 21. submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Why does he say that? Because he wants you to be faithful. Do you know there's little things that you can do that will then plant the seed of unfaithfulness that will then grow into a plant and take root, and you'll try and figure out how on earth did we get here? But it's not just between a husband and wife. How about siblings? How's your loyalty? How's your allegiance? How's your duty? Well, hey, you know, me and this we just don't get along. I understand that not every personality works, but is there faithfulness to the family? To parents? I'm going to tell you, a key to keeping faithfulness in a family is forgiveness and love. Forgiveness and love. If you don't have that in your heart, or have a desire to have that, or are working actively to maintain that, you're going to have a rough family. Because family requires faithfulness, but it also requires forgiveness and love. Family are the people we don't get to necessarily choose in our life. I mean, somewhere someone got a choice. But then after that, this is what you're given. No child got to, most children don't get to pick their parents, right? I mean, outside of adoption. That's your family. That's your brother. That's your sister. You better learn, if you're going to keep a faithful family, to learn to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. Those two things are different. As a faithful family, you're going to have to learn the words, I love you. You're going to have to express that. Say, well, that's just not me. I'm not the loving type. You better learn. Or else you're going to have an unfaithful home. We just went through a series on parenting, and man, just reveal to me how bad of a parent I am, Sam. I'm sorry. And just areas of improvement. And man, we need forgiveness. We need love. Faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to our family. Faithfulness to the church. The body of Christ. It's like another family. It's called the family of God. We sing the song. We have a song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, right? It's similar to the physical family. It's going to take what? It's going to take commitment to keep faithful. I remember I was in 10th grade, getting ready to go into 11th grade, had a Bible conference. I was talking one of the nights in August there. I made a decision at First Bible Baptist Church. They used to have their Bible conference there. Not too long after, I found myself sitting in Mike Metzger's office asking Pastor Metzger, what do I do now? And he told me this. He says, Nick, every time those church doors are open, you be there. So why would he tell me that? Because God, he knew God had things coming from the pulpit, coming from instruction, coming from fellowship that was going to help me in my walk. Hey, can I encourage you? I don't want to make you feel guilty or any of that, but and I'm talking to the people that are at church. I understand that. But there is something to be said about faithfulness to God's house. Don't do things that would begin to sow seeds of unfaithfulness. Don't sign up for the art class that is Sundays at 10 a.m. Right? Don't schedule the doctor's appointment at Wednesday at 7. Why? Because you can't be faithful to church. Now, I know there are exceptions and times, and I'm not trying to be mean, but it'll help you to be faithful to church. I am so thankful. We went through a pandemic. I've never been through a pandemic before. I don't want to do it again. I didn't like it. I mean, I certainly learned some things. The time off was interesting and unique. It kind of reminded me of the ice storm. Just everything stopped moving. Remember the ice storm in 91?
Oh, yeah.
That was great. No heat. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, how about the blizzard of 77 in Buffalo? I've seen pictures. Anyways. Went through a pandemic. I'm glad we're all back from that. But what I see, I'm just telling you what I see. I'm glad we're here, but it's amazing, not amazing, it's interesting to me to how that affected our faithfulness. Say, what do you mean? We'll miss for not much. Say, what does that mean? Your great nephew on your second cousin's brother's side is having a graduation party for their kindergartner that, well, I got to be there. What happened to faithfulness? I understand, but we miss for not much. I just ask that you consider faithfulness to the Lord, to your family, and to the church. You're a remarkable church, and we're better when you're here. Again, don't do things that would, just like in the family, that would sow seeds of unfaithfulness. I'm going to tell you, much like the physical family, forgiveness and love is going to be needed. Unfortunately, the person next to you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save them too, and they want to come worship, so you're going to have to learn to get along with others. Right? That's what we have to do. We have to learn to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and let me show you that. That's part of the family. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. These are written to the churches. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Areas in which we should be faithful to the Lord, to our family, to church. Saying, is that an exhaustive list? Is that it? That's all I need? No, there's other things. But for today, that's where we'll... There's some things that'll help you with your faithfulness. Number one, the Scriptures. There are, I called it this, friends of faithfulness. It just sounded nice, Brother Grandpa Haight. Friends of faithfulness. If I'm looking to try and be more faithful, what are some things that I can surround myself with that is going to help me? Number one, the Word of God. It helps establish priorities. It helps keep God's point of view in my life. It helps hear the guidance and direction of God Himself. It helps identify sin and the wedges that could come between you and God. It helps identify sin and wedges that could come between you and others. Ever read the Word of God and realize the problem was with you and not the other person? Man, they were right. Well, I'm going to go somewhere else because I can't say I'm sorry. You better learn to say you're sorry. It'll make it better. The friends of faithfulness. Number one, the Scriptures. I encourage you to read it, memorize it, distribute it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Surround yourself by the word of God. I was talking to someone yesterday, and every morning they get up ungodly hours, and they start with Bible reading. Nothing wrong with that. That actually will be quite helpful. That actually will help you to be faithful to God, to your family, and to church. Because it'll show you what is most important. Friends of faithfulness. Number one, the Scriptures. Number two, spending time together. Say, oh, you don't understand. The more time we spend together, the harder it is. And then we fight and bicker. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah. No? Have most of you heard that? Okay, good. All right. Spending time together, that will be a friend to faithfulness. Spending time together as a family will encourage and strengthen the relationship. That's how memories are made. Same with the church family. Spend time with somebody. This week or next week or before the end of the month, pick a family that you have not gotten together with. Give them a call and say, here's my calendar. What works good for you? We'll have you over for hot dogs and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It'll be cheap. It'll be easy. The kids will have fun. Probably put a hole in the wall somewhere, but that's okay. I know how to do drywall. We'll have a great time together. Schedule something together. Fellowship with one another. That's why we have dinner on the grounds. Why? Because the more time we spend together, the more faithful we will be to one another. We ought to worry when we don't see one another. Hey, where's this person? Where's that person? Not because we're nosy, but because we care. Hey, if every night you sit down at the table and one member of the family is missing, wouldn't you be alarmed? Hey, where's Hudson? Why isn't he at dinner? I don't know. I haven't seen him. I'm sure he's fine. What? Well, no one would do that. Hey, where is this person? It's important to spend time together. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they're going through a really rough time. Maybe they need some of that fellowship. Maybe they need someone to come by and help bear that burden. You wouldn't know, though, if you weren't spending time with them. Do you understand time spent together will help strengthen faithfulness? You know what else helps strengthen faithfulness? Hearing the preached word of God. I know preaching isn't always... Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you hear your sin and you're like, I don't like that. Hey, you want to learn to be faithful to God and your family and the church house? Find out where preaching is and be there. We just so happen to do preaching here at church. The preached word of God. The preaching from the Bible behind this pulpit, not because of me, is the best counselor that you could get. Thus saith the Lord. 45 minutes here, or 40 minutes, or 2 hours, whatever it is that my kids say I do, is better than 2 hours spent in the office trying to hash things out. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work from the inside out personally through His Word in your life, there's no comparison. I'm just not feeling like going to church today. You're missing out on God's message for you. You're not going to be the better for it. It's like the family getting together and you staying home and watching Dr. Phil, Oprah. Are they still on? Are they still alive? They're still there? No, I don't want to spend time with loved ones. I'm going to just be to myself. I don't want to hear the word of God preached. I just want alone time. You're sowing seeds of unfaithfulness. Hey, be a friend to the scriptures. Be a friend to one another. Be a friend to preaching. You got some spare time? Sermon audio. I can give you some great things to listen to. Now, I understand that you don't have to spend all your time doing that. But the preached word of God? There's some really good preachers out there. They're like far away. Don't go looking for them. They're like far. All right? Other churches. Down south. It's hot. It's hot down there. Don't go there. Friends of faithfulness will be the scriptures, time spent together, the preaching, and fellowship in God's word. But if there's friends to faithfulness, listen now, there's also enemies. I'm thankful. I don't think I have any enemies. Not that I know of. We're good, Jake? All right, good. But there's enemies of faithfulness. The lack of hearing the word of God in your life will cause you to be unfaithful. So you said that by the preaching. Yeah, but you could sit even in preaching and not hear it. it's possible, listen, to sit in the church house. I know this because sometimes I talk to my children and I'm talking to them, but they're not listening. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes God is speaking and we're just not listening. Oh, sure, we could be here. But an enemy of faithfulness is the lack of hearing, where we stop listening to the Lord, where we stop listening to the Scriptures. Yeah, you know, that's an old book. That just doesn't apply these days. Do you know what month this is? This is Pride Month. You got to get up with, hey, listen, Christianity is moving faster than this Bible. You need to catch up. Then Christianity is moving away from the truth. A lack of hearing. That's an enemy of faithfulness. Lack of hearing. We stop listening to the Lord. We stop listening to Scripture. Remember Solomon? Solomon was the wisest man, the Bible said. God imparted divine wisdom in him. What happened? He stopped listening and became unfaithful. Read through 1 Kings. It is heartbreaking to hear what happens with King Solomon. It's heartbreaking to hear what happens to Christians when they stop listening to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God in their life. It's never better. It leads to unfaithfulness. Enemies of faithfulness, number one, the lack of hearing. Number two, the lack of discipline. Spiritual discipline. Discipline is a controlled behavior. If I discipline myself to get up at some hour and exercise, that you would say I'm a disciplined individual. If it is 95 degrees and someone passes me the ice cream and I say, no, I'm trying not to eat after 9 o'clock, that is discipline. Physical discipline. But there's also spiritual discipline. Know what that is? That's saying no to temptation. That says, no, you know what? That causes me to sin, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay away from that. Not that that's sin, it just leads me to sin. So I'm just going to stay away from that. Know what that is? That's spiritual discipline. Having a lack of discipline will lead to unfaithfulness. Not being able to say no to sin is a big problem. That's something that we need to spend more time in teaching our children, to say no to sin. Yes, there's consequences, and oh, you disobeyed, and here's the consequence. You can't, or give me this, or you don't get to, or go to my room, all that stuff, I understand. But the instruction of being able to say no to sin is really significant in a young person's life because the sins and the consequences get that much larger the older they get. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says this, "But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself," this is Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:27, "I myself should be a castaway." Paul was worried that he too would fall prey to the lack of discipline in his life and be a castaway. Could you imagine Paul being a castaway? Demas writing, "It's just me. Paul has forsaken due to the cares of this life." That's what Paul wrote of Demas. And Demas was ever aware of the capability and possibility of the lack of spiritual discipline that he would take himself even out of the ministry. Paul. Our lack of spiritual discipline is directly related to our lack of prayer and fasting. To be able to tell the flesh no. The flesh says yes and craves. It just craves satisfaction. The flesh is never satisfied, though. Never. The minute you get it, you'll just want more. Sure, you'll earn that dollar, but you'll want another. Ever buy or go to the store and just buy one potato chip. I just want one. No one can eat one. We sell chicken wings by a dozen. Why? Because the flesh doesn't know how to stop. A lack of spiritual discipline will lead as an enemy of faithfulness. Hey, learn to always tune your ear to the voice of God. Learn to say no. And thirdly and lastly, and then we're done. The last enemy of faithfulness is the lack of honesty. Truth is an enemy of unfaithfulness, or lies is an enemy of faithfulness. Every breakdown in relationship is rooted in a lie. I've walked away from the Lord because the Lord failed me. Lie. I quit going to church because no one loves me. Lie. I stopped reading my Bible because it has nothing for me. Lie. We're lying to ourselves. You're lying to yourself. An enemy of faithfulness, yes, is the lack of hearing the Word of God. Number two, a lack of spiritual discipline, but the lack of honesty. Hey, listen, you could be wrong. It's okay. Admit you're wrong. Fix the problem and go forward for the Lord. Our young school children, they fear having to put a red mark stating that they missed an answer. I'm okay with putting red marks. I'm okay with marking an answer wrong when you get it wrong. What I'm not okay with is you not marking wrong something that is. And God is okay with you sinning. I mean, He's made ways that when you do sin, to get right. When you do walk away, He's made ways to come back. His problem is with you is when you say, I've done nothing wrong. The lack of honesty. So this morning, we've seen some examples of faithfulness. Areas of faithfulness that we need to pay some attention to. We need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful to our family. We need to be faithful to the church. Found some friends of faithfulness. The Scriptures. Surround yourself with the Scriptures. You know what? I love when I get to go into some of your houses and every time I turn around the corner, oh, there's another Bible phrase on the wall. And here's another Scripture sign. And man, that's good. Surround yourself with the Scriptures. Listen to the Scriptures. Give attention to the Scriptures. Read it, memorize it, distribute it. It's so good, hand it out. It's like if someone went to Ridge Donuts this morning. Like, why wouldn't you bring some and hand it out to others? Right, Mr. Seaman? Right? I mean, like, why wouldn't you do that? Because it's so good. Hey, the Word of God is so good. Why do Christians have such a hard time handing out the Word of God? Because they've not tasted of its goodness. Because if we got a hold of how good it is, we'd be ready. You gotta try this. Hey, you come with me. You gotta. But has God made a difference in your life? Surround yourself with the Scriptures. Spend time with one another. Surround yourself with preaching. Be careful. Be careful that you ever get to the place where you don't hear. Be careful if there's a lack of the ability to say no to sin. Be careful if everybody else is the problem instead of you. You know, the Lord tells us in Luke chapter 16 that he that is faithful with little. See, God pays attention to the little things. I encourage you to pay attention
to the little things. Hey, when that big promotion comes by, that's when I'll be faithful. Hey, when my time comes, that's when I'll be faithful. God says, I desire that you be faithful with the little things. The Wednesday night prayer meetings. Can I be honest? That should be one of the most important services. This is where we bring our petitions as a body of believers, as a family, together to bear one another's burdens and bring them to the throne of God. That should be a priority in our life. When the doctor says there's a problem, all of a sudden prayer meeting becomes really important. When the kid goes off the deep end, all of a sudden we're at prayer meeting. When the pink slip shows up in the locker and says, you got 2 weeks, we're at prayer meeting. Hey, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to those things. God is faithful. It says it in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. Hudson Taylor, founder of China Inland Mission, used to hang in his home a plaque with two Hebrew words on it, Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh. The first word means, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The second word means the Lord will see to it or provide. One looked back while the other looked forward. One reminded him of God's faithfulness and the other of God's assurances. Surely we can look back in our life and go, God's been good and faithful. God's been faithful to me. Never one time has he ever let me down. Are you faithful to him? Let's all stand together.